often said, where would we be without the Lord? All right, junior church may be dismissed at this time. We do extend our sympathy to Nancy and the loss of her sister. Our heart goes out to you. Very difficult. Hard to believe that we are in the 1st of November, and I'm going to be speaking each Sunday morning in November concerning Thanksgiving, around Thanksgiving. So get me on here. And being thankful is a characteristic. It's a characteristic of a person's heart, if they are thankful or if they're not thankful. It's a characteristic, being thankful. The Bible says in the New Testament, it's the will of God to give thanks. That's God's will. God wants people to be thankful. That's God's will, to be thankful. Anybody that complains is not thankful. And it is a character of a human heart. It's a characteristic. So today, as we kind of launch out throughout this month, we are beginning in Psalm 116. Psalm 116. We grow up in life, we develop our philosophies, we develop our opinions. I told the students down at Marietta on Tuesday, opinions are like noses. Everybody has one and they're different. I said, I don't wipe your nose and you don't wipe mine. So opinions should be kept to themselves unless asked. We become very opinionated, and a lot of times in giving those opinions, we become condemning, critical, and unsatisfied as we declare that. And it's a characteristic of the human heart. It shows the condition of a human heart and its relationship with God. Now, everybody got an extra hour of sleep last night. You all got all rested up, and you got an extra hour to face the last 2 years of 2020. I didn't get an extra hour of sleep last night. I had an extra hour with the moon from about 1 o'clock in the morning until about five. I got an extra hour with the moon. Went to sleep into a deep sleep, slept about 2 hours, and woke up about 1 o'clock, and I still wake at five. And, oh boy, moon shining bright. But anyway, I thank God I'm here. I thank God I'm out and about and not confined, and I'm not complaining, I'm explaining. And it's good to be here this morning in the house of the Lord. This psalm begins with a declaration. It's a declaration. I told the young people down at Marietta on Tuesday, we're studying the book of Ephesians right now, which has to do with the program of God. Program of God. And I said, you have to be careful in ministry, or your emphasis will be on the program of God and not the person of God. And we're all guilty of that. We're all guilty of that. That We become active in the program of God after we get saved, and we serve and we run to and fro, and many times in our relationship with Christ, it is left along the roadside in the shadows. The psalmist here, and it's not described to any psalm, any author, the psalm is not, in this section, I believe David wrote the majority of them, although the study Bibles does not give a identity to any certain author. But I believe it carries his writing. He makes a declaration, I love the Lord. That's a tremendous declaration. I love the Lord. Now, again, we have to be very careful in our Christian lives once we get saved. When I got saved, I took off like a house of fire. I just went nonstop after I got saved. And I can honestly say in my own life and years in ministries many times that the time spent with him was far less than the time spent for the program that he put me in. And that's what Paul did, and Frosty quoted this morning from Philippians. Matter of fact, Frosty this morning said that he was afraid Wednesday night that I was going to take all of his message this morning in Sunday school. And I thought during his Sunday school lesson he was going to take all my message this coming Wednesday night that I am preparing and from Romans. But the program of God is important, but it's not important as the person of God. That's some of the problem with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They made more emphasis upon the Sabbath. They made more emphasis upon the law. They put more emphasis upon feast days, put more emphasis upon material, but you didn't put any emphasis upon the person. And I'm sad to say Christianity doesn't differ much. And so Paul said he was getting ready to depart, and he said to Timothy, the time of my departure is at hand. He wrote those words the same time he wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. He wrote to Timothy, the time of my departure is at hand. He was in Rome, incarcerated, when he wrote those books. And he said something, and Frosty quoted it this morning, that I may know him. And I have surfaced this subject many times, that we can get so busy in the Lord's work that we forget the Lord of the work. And I'm as guilty as anybody else. And I call upon us as a church family throughout this month of November, and as we go down into the holiday seasons and so forth, that Christ be restored to his proper place in all of our lives and homes. That's where it has to start. Revival has to start in our heart and in our home. That's where it begins. And it has to start with the person, not the program. You can't revive the program of God if you haven't got revival with the person of God. I love the Lord. And Paul said, oh, that I might know him. This is after he was saved. He was saved in Acts chapter 9 as he was traveling on the road to Damascus. He took off like a house of fire once God saved him. and he saw the truth of Christianity, and he preached Christ within 3 days. And within 3 days, Paul was preaching. And then they were trying to kill him. He went into Arabia and spent 3 years, and Christ taught him. The disciples, the apostles, spent 3 years with the living Christ. Paul spent 3 years with the resurrected Christ. Now, I want to tell you what a schooling that would have been. The apostles spent 3 years with the living Christ. Paul spent 3 years with the resurrected Christ. And Paul refers to that in Corinthians, where the Lord himself showed me. The Lord taught me. The Lord has showed me. As he spent 3 years in the Arabian desert, all alone, just him and Christ, after he got saved. Then he took off a trailblazer for Christ, establishing churches, preaching the gospel, and through most difficult situations, beatings, imprisonments, without material needs being for his person. Many times he said, didn't have food, didn't have the necessities of life, I didn't have. He said it many times, I didn't have anything. Other times I had plenty. But he kept on. He kept on for Christ. Then he came down to the end of life, incarcerated, and he said to Timothy, the time of my departure is at hand. But he told Philippi, oh, that I may know him. Isn't that sad? And if that can happen to Paul, that can happen to you and I. And I want our church family, and along with this preacher, to make some changes in our schedules. Make some changes in our homes and in our hearts. And we put Christ back where he belongs first. Then the program. I take church very seriously. I always have, ever since I was born again. You couldn't hardly drag me to a church before I got saved, but after I got saved, wild horses couldn't keep me back. Couldn't wait till the time for the bell to ring. And I take the program of God very seriously, organizing, administrating, and so forth. I take preaching very seriously. Teaching very seriously. But all that's in vain if the proper relationship is not maintained with the person, him. And that'll help you and I to keep a heart of gratitude. The closer you get to him, the better you know him, the more grateful you are to him. But it takes time, my friend. It takes time out of your schedule. It takes time out of my schedule. It takes discipline. It takes desire. And all that goes along with it. Let me encourage you, throughout this month of November, start to make some changes that'll build in your heart a more grateful heart to Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm already grateful. Take what you've got now and make it better for next year. That makes some people angry when I say that. Take what you've got now and make it better. Some people think they've reached the heights. There's no more place to achieve. I've already reached it. No. Nobody has, nobody ever will. If the Apostle Paul, down on the end of his life, said, oh, that I may know him, you can believe as well as I can believe, we all need that desire in our own lives. And someday when it's all over and we're out there with him, we will come to an understanding that many times in our life, our priorities have totally been out of order. Totally out of order. I ask you this morning, as we start this Thanksgiving season, and on this first Sunday of November, to put this as a prayer request in your heart, that I may know him. That's in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him. I ask you as a church member, as somebody just visiting or whatever, to make that a desire in your heart for this upcoming season and upcoming year, because I want to tell you, friends, things are not going to get better. We've got a lot of civil unrest. We've got a lot of unrest around the country and through the country, unstableness, and around the world as we prepare for the end times to come. It's a very unstable world. And when it's all said and done, we're out with him. It won't make a whole lot of difference. What we thought was very important in life now has passed. We're going to be with the one that we should have made priority for. And then we're going to understand, I've had my priorities out of order. That I may know him. And I believe the more that we know him, the more we can declare with the psalmist, I love him. You search your heart this morning. Only you can do that. With the Holy Spirit of God. And on a scale from 1 to 10. This makes some people so angry when I do these things. I'm not saying in here. But it makes people angry when I do these things. On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rate your affection for Christ? From 1 to 10. If you say 10, you're a liar. If you say 10, you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. Nobody's achieved that. No one. Even the Apostle Paul. Even the Apostle Paul. Now, there's something about loving the Lord that can't be hid. There's something about loving that can't be hid. Hold your finger there in Psalm 116 and turn back with me, if you will, and we'll come right back over to Psalm 116. This message this morning of Psalm 116 will be in two parts, today and next Sunday. And turn with me from Psalm 116, holding your finger there, over to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 8. And I want to read verse 2 before I read my verse. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 2. If any man think he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing. Wow. As he ought to know. If anyone thinks he knows anything, he doesn't know anything that he ought to know. And then the great verse in chapter 8, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. If anyone is in love with God, his life will show it. His life will show it. His life will show it in what he says. His life will show it in what he does. His life will show it in reflection to what he learns, applies, obeys. His walk, his talk, his action. Love is something that cannot be hid. It cannot be hid. Oftentimes, when a man and woman spend 60, 65 years together in marriage, when the one passes, the other will pass within a month. That happens so often. Why? They spent 65 years together. And one can't exist without the other one. That happens so often. So, and I'm not saying 100% of the time, but that happens so often. The one that's left has loneliness and an emptiness and nothing there to fill it. I'm talking about on the physical human side of life. Nothing there. Love not only can be seen, love is experienced. And I'm not talking about verbal words. Because the man that loved God, the same is known of him. Not what the man says, but is known of him, which implies and indicates his life will portray it. His life will show it. His speech will portray it. What he does will portray it. You don't mistreat someone that you're in love with. You don't ignore someone you're in love with. You don't forsake that which you're in love with. And I could go on and on and on. So I want you today, turn back to 116 now. The psalmist says, love the Lord. That's a great declaration. But putting that with what Paul said to the church at Corinth, which was very carnal church, a very extremely carnal church. If any man love God, the same is known of him. He may say it, but his life has to portray it. And how often have I said the walk and the talk, unless they agree, is a mixed match that does not portray anything. The walk has to match the talk has to match the walk. Words are cheap. So as we begin this month of Thanksgiving, every Sunday morning as a church family, I want you to grade yourself. You don't have to do it right now, but you ponder when you get home or whenever, this afternoon sometime, and you pray about it and ask God to guide you. I am dead serious. I'm not playing games this morning. And you take the test on your own heart, honestly before God. You get you a little piece of paper, just personally, you and yourself, nobody else, just you and yourself, just between you and your Lord, and you give yourself a grade between 1 and 10. Where would I put my number between 1 and 10 with my intimate love for my Savior? What number would I put myself at? And you do that. You can't put it down for somebody else. And somebody else can't do it for you, and you can't sit down and do it together with some friend or whatever. Only you. I ask you to do that. I ask you to participate in it. And then, as you look at that number, say, Lord, are you pleased with that number? Now, if you write number 10 down, you've deceived yourself and the truth is not in you. If you put 10 down, you've deceived yourself and the truth is not in you. For if the Apostle Paul, right before he went out to meet the Lord, said that I may know him, and he was talking about an intimacy, that I want to know him. He already knew him as Savior, but I want to know him. I want to know his person. I have worked his program. I have lived his program. I have given my life to his program. Wow, but here I am ready to go out and meet him, and I don't know him. Here I am about ready to go out and stand before him, and I don't know him. So be honest with your own heart, because there's only one person you're trying to impress, and that's yourself. That's yourself. And boy, people are self-deceived. They're self-deceived. If any man think he knows anything, he knows nothing at all that he ought to know. And the greatest thing that you can know is the love of God. It's the greatest thing. I lack. I'm not going to tell you my number, but I'll tell you one thing. It's far from where it ought to be. Far from where it ought to be. And if we're all honest with our own heart, we would all say, I'm lacking. Thank you for the challenge. And by the grace of God, I want to take this challenge. We rearrange some priorities, get some things changed in my life, and I want to focus more through this Thanksgiving holiday season upon the person of my Savior by spending time with Him. By spending time with Him. It takes discipline, it takes time, effort, and desire. I want to tell you, death is intimate. It can happen at any moment. Nancy's sister was just sitting at the table getting ready to go shopping with a friend. She's on the floor. Randy McElroy was out trying to fix a light to be more light on the front of his house, and he hit the ground. Do you think, and do I think, that we live above that? You think that you and I are barred from something like that happening to me or you? There's a time to be born and a time to die. I didn't choose that time to be born. Life is a gift from God. And I don't want to go shipwrecked here and go down a rabbit trail, but I did a 30-minute study on Thursday afternoon. My heart was on fire on abortion. It's all on abortion and how God will bless this nation, and can God bless this nation? You know, they talk about this Roe versus whatever, huh? Wade. It was a bogus. You study it. It was bogus. There was no case. A whole lie made the law. It was bogus. Roe versus Wade. It was bogus. I said to the church here last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever, I said if a heartbeat says, a doctor says no heartbeat, that's death. Then if a doctor says there is a heartbeat, there's life. Heartbeat, no heartbeat, death. A heartbeat, life. And to take a life, it's murder. And I spent an entire 30 minutes on abortion Thursday, and I got pretty rough. Got pretty rough. Several have shared it overseas. Overseas. This Thursday is going to be righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We're talking about America. We're talking about the future of America. If we don't want to get back to the morals of the Word of God, then don't bring God back into this cesspool. Don't drag him through the cesspool of this country if we do not want to bring back the person and the morals of him. And it has to start in your heart. It has to start within your own heart. And it takes honesty. Honesty. And not the only one we're deceiving is me. It's me. If I write down a big nine, number 9 or 10, the only one that's deceived is me. Then after you write it down, you just say, well, does this match my lifestyle? Does this match my path that I leave behind me? I was condemned, criticized, judged, threatened. I said to a person, if your life matches your person, evidently you fit the mold. Oh, that didn't fly very well. If your past mentions and matches your person, then evidently you fit the mold. Oh. Hey, we're known by our life. We're known by what we do. If any man love God, it's not what he says, it's what he does. How he conducts himself. And one of the greatest characteristics of a child of God that is in love with God is he is grateful. He is thankful. And we enter this Thanksgiving time. We enter this time where we give thanks for our country, for our communities, for our home, for our family, for our church. And yes, even if it's possible for your preacher, I love the Lord. That's the declaration. I love the Lord. What's the motivation for making that declaration? There has to be some motive that motivated the psalmist to make that declaration. And you find immediately the next word. Because. You watch how people speak. How people, and I have to listen very carefully anymore because I've totally went deaf in my right ear. Totally. Completely deaf. So I got to listen very intently. You watch people put adjectives. The newscasters are very good about doing this. Putting adjectives. Because they're wanting to balloon and bloat by putting an adjective. Clever. Clever foxes. Clever foxes. Just listen to how people speak and words they choose and use. I love the Lord because there has to be a motive. How often have we heard people say, will your church pay my rent? Will your church pay my utility bill? Will your church do this or will your church do that? So, just come to church. Just come in and come to church and enjoy. We've got a policy. We help our own church people. Come on in and join us. Oh, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. I don't have time. Using God. That's what's wrong with America right now. Using God. They use him and abuse him. There has to be a right motivation to make the great declaration. And if there's not, many times the motivation is as bogus as the declaration. Because he heard, notice that next little word? This is personal. This is personal. I've tried over the years at different times of ministries to narrow people down about their own personal life. And they always try to get somebody to stand alongside of them, either a husband or a wife or family or somebody. They don't want to stand alone in answering the questions. They don't want to answer. Your relationship with Christ is personal. It's personal. And your affection for him is personal. And we can declare, I love him. But what's our motivation for declaring it? And remember, if it's not true, the only one that's deceived is our own self. Our own self. Are you willing to make some changes to really make it Thanksgiving? To show the Lord I'm willing to make some changes, prioritize more time for you and your person? Because I want to build a greater gratitude in my heart for you. I thank you for your salvation. I thank you for your creation. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. But I want to just have gratitude for your person. Just for your person. Just who you are. Because he hath heard my voice. My voice. He has heard my voice. How often do we pray, lift our voice to him, and then walk away 2 minutes later, and he's as far from our mind as it is from the Atlantic Ocean over to the European shore. We gather together and we pray. We lift our voice, we have our petitions, we have things that we want to ask, and 2 minutes later, his person is removed from our mind as far as the Atlantic Ocean from the European ocean, shore. Yep. You know it's true, and I know it's true. You know it's true. Building gratitude, building a thankful heart. I'm going to tell you, our pilgrims had a lot to be thankful for. Boy, they had a lot to be thankful for. And all of these segments of American society that have no respect for our country, no respect for our Constitution, no respect for our history. No respect. And they downgrade. Don't tell me you're thankful for America when you despise it and disgrace it. And it's a hypocrite that sits at a dinner table on Thanksgiving when they know it's not true in their heart. And this is alarming, and it's growing. It's growing way out, way beyond, in many different segments of life. It's growing. the disgrace for this country and what it stood for and what I hope will one day stand again for. But it begins with you. It begins with me. That's where it starts. You study some of the great revivals in Wales and Scotland. Started with a man. One started with three people. Started with three farmers. They come out of the fields. They were neighbors. And they came together. And one suggested, you know, we need God to do something. Let's meet together. So they all went home. They had their meal. They went back and gathered together in an old building and spent the time there until God sent a revival throughout the land of Wales and Scotland. God, it started with three people. If we want revival, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. Do something about it. Don't talk about it. Do something. I love him because he heard me. He heard me. He heard me. He heard me. Now, motivation is that which brings the declaration. And we'll see what he heard next Sunday. But thirdly this morning, the proclamation. We find the declaration, I love the Lord. We find the motivation because he heard me. And next Sunday we'll study that. But today, in the time we have left, I want to look at my third point, the proclamation. I didn't get this out of any dictionary or out of any commentary or anything. As I've said, I don't say this braggingly. I just get along with God and the Holy Spirit in this book. That's it. And a pen. That's it. At 3 o'clock this morning, with the moon shining bright, God was programming my heart more things for this morning. I want you to notice the proclamation. In verse 2, therefore will I, or I will. In verse 9, I will. Verse 13, I will. Verse 14, I will. Verse 17, I will. Verse 18, I will. I'll go over them very quickly again. In the middle of verse 2, will I or I will. In verse 9, I will. Verse 13, I will. Verse 14, I will. Verse 17, I will. Verse 18, I will. The proclamation. The declaration brought a motivation for the proclamation, and the motivation brought the great proclamation, and we call that commitment. Commitment. I will. Now, the Bible says it's better not to make a vow and don't keep it than to make one. It's better not to make one than to make one and don't keep it. But if you're in love with him and that intimacy is growing and gratitude for him is blooming and blossoming in the crevices of your heart, it's not hard to commit. I have taught family living down to college and overseas in different places. And I've told young men and young girls when they stand before each other and they commit and say, I will. And then the young girl finds out about a week later, he won't. What makes them vow? What should make them vow? Well, you have to even change your vocabulary today and how you present things. What should make them vow to each other? Their love for each other. Their love for each other. And life is a life of give and take. There's times you have to take when you don't want to take, and there's times you have to give when you don't want to give. It's a life of give and take. And we cannot just settle back and say, well, I am just who I am, and be stubborn and so forth. We achieve nothing. We go no place. We accomplish nothing. That's commitment. Commitment. I want you to notice the last three words of verse 6. I want you to notice the last three words of verse 6. Are you grateful for that? Huh? Are you grateful for what he was done? Listen how I present this. Are you grateful for what he's done, or for you grateful for the person that did it? You have to answer that same as I do. Are you grateful for what he has done, or are you grateful for the person that did it? And that's what brings on, I will. Not hard to commit when there's love. It's not hard to commit when there's love. But commitment takes my time, and commitment takes my priorities, and commitment takes, and it just, life is a life of give and take. You just think what all Christ took that belonged to you. And just think what all he gave that belonged to him. Just think for that a moment. All that he took that belonged to you, and all that he gave you that belonged to him. And oftentimes we're thankful for answered prayer, and we praise God for answered prayer, and we should. But the Bible says, it doesn't say praise for the answer, it says praise the Lord. And we're all grateful when we get what we ask. Hey, God answers prayer. I don't care. It may come in different things than exactly the way you ask for it, but God always hears. He always hears. He helped me. He, that's his person. Helped, that's his provision. Me, that's me. He helped me. I love him. I love him. I love him because he helped me. What else can I do but proclaim my commitment back to him? And I will close with this question of thought for you to ponder over the next week. In verse 12 is the big question. I don't have the time to go down through all of the commitments. You can look at them, the I wills, in your own time. But here's the question. that we leave with our hearts this morning. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? What am I going to do for him now that he's done all of this for me? And I remind you and I again and all of those out beyond the four walls, he took what belonged to me and gave me what belonged to him. Give and take. And if you analyze that under human wisdom, you'd say, that wasn't a very good trade. For he took my sin and gave me his righteousness. He took my judgment and gave me freedom. And I could go on and on and on. He helped me. He helped me. Now what can I do for him? What can I do for him? You ponder that question this week, verse 12. And as we get ready and closer, and I want to tell you, it'll be 2021 before you can turn around. You start a month and it's gone before you even... Back in March when this invisible enemy appeared, and they were talking about maybe things being better by May, and here you are in March, you think, my goodness, May will never get here. And now we're here, we are starting November. Does time ever go by quickly? I want to challenge you, church folks, family, and those beyond the four walls. Do you love the Lord? I mean, really love him. Grade yourself today. Put a number down. Look at it this week and say, with a sincere desire of heart, I want to be able to increase that number. I want to be able to increase that number. And just remember these two things. He helped me. What can I do for him? He helped me. What can I do for him? So there is the great declaration, I love the Lord. There's the great motivation, because. And there's the great proclamation, I will. That's commitment. And these are done because the psalmist said, he helped me. He helped me. And now what can I do for all of his blessing and benefits that he gave to me? What a nice psalm this is. And then someday, when it's all said and done, someday when it's all said and done, you'll get to enjoy verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. God, and I couldn't wait till Wednesday night. I had to say it this morning because many won't be here Wednesday night. God considers death, I said Wednesday night, death is not the end, death is the beginning. And death in the eyes of God is a precious thing. Why? Because we get to go be with him. Now we don't look at life that way, but don't look at life through the telescope of human wisdom. You've got to look at life through the biblical principles and the biblical instructions and the biblical stand of the Bible and the person of God that gave it. Just remember, he helped me. Psalmist didn't say, wow. Now he does go on to tell how he helped him, but he doesn't make the commitment in the proclamation, because he says, what he did helped me. He helped me. Not what he did help me. He. We got to get back to the person and quit so much emphasis upon the program. And fall in love all over again with Jesus Christ. You have to take the test. You have to write the number down with the honesty of your heart. And then see and watch it grow. As you change some priorities and change some things, a give and take. Hey, it was give and take for him so he could help me. It was give and take. All right? So the first message on a month of Thanksgiving, next Sunday morning, we're going to look at some of the things and how and what all the psalmists received for help. All right?